I want you to take your Bibles this morning and find 1 Peter chapter 4. We're back to our series on 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, read verses 12 through 19. Title of the sermon this morning is, What About the Sinner? 1 Peter 4, beginning in verse 12, and Peter says, Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. I want to stop there a moment. This has nothing to do with the message today. But what is a meddler? A busybody or a gossip? I think it's kind of funny that Peter is listing all these really bad things. Murderer, thief, criminal, nosy busybody. I think more churches have been torn apart by meddlers than they have by murderers. What? Gossip kills the soul. Verse 16. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Now, a couple weeks ago, we looked at this. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. What will happen, or what will become, or what about the sinner? Now, the thing of it is, a lot of us, when we hear the word sinner, our thought process immediately jumps to those really bad stuff. Murderers, liars, thieves, busybodies. Oh, my goodness. When I say that more meddlers and busybodies have destroyed churches more than murderers, I'm not kidding. I've grown up in the church. I've seen the damage that one old busybody's tongue can do. And no, not all busybodies are female. Let's just clarify that, okay? Some busybodies are male. I don't know why the women get such a bad rap on it, but they do. But I want to tell you this morning, first thing I want us to do is I want us to decide or define what we mean by sinner. So go with me, first of all, to Luke chapter 13, verses 22 through 30. And then you may want to also find 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 9. Luke chapter 13, verses 22 through 30 says this, Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. And someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? And he said to them, Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, Sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you will say, We ate and drank with you and taught in your streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. If you underline things in your Bible, in both verse 25 and 27, underline those words, I don't know. Know you, or whatever your version says, equivalent to that. Verse 27, but he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. And people will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first and first who will be last. 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 9 goes along with this. Paul says, God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to those who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And they will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. I want to talk to you for just the first few minutes here to help define what we mean by a sinner. And I want to give you the definition of what it means to know someone. We attach the word know to this intellectual, mental grasping of knowledge. And even though that is one meaning of it, that's not the meaning here in the Word of God. If you go back into the Old Testament, to many of the stories of the Old Testament, especially in the older English versions, like the King James Version, it talks about the fact that after they were thrown out of the Garden of Eden, it says, and Adam knew his wife Eve. And it talks about how Abraham knew his wife Sarah. And that's not talking about the fact that he mentally grasped who she was. The word know, and I hope no one gets embarrassed with this. If you do, sorry. Mature, grow up. The word know in those cases means that they had sexual intercourse together. That's one of the reasons why the Bible talks so much about the fact that sexual sin is so devastating, because they understand when a man and woman come together in sexual union, it's not just the physical, there is actually a spiritual bonding of your life to that person. That's why the church stands so much against premarital sex, homosexuality, prostitution, adultery, and all of those things. It's not just a sin in the physical, it is a sin in the spiritual. Because when a man and woman come together in sexual union, you know one another at a depth deeper than mental or academic acknowledgement of one another. It is a spiritual binding. What did the Bible say in Genesis? It says, but the man shall leave his family and the woman shall leave her family and the two of them shall what? Cleave together and become one. That's what it means to know in this case. The sexual union between a man and a woman is the closest thing that we as humans have to understanding the relationship that God the Father wants to have with us. So what is a sinner? A sinner is anyone who has failed to enter into an intimate, knowing relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit. It's not the person that goes out and commits murder. It's not the person that goes out and commits heinous crimes. There are many good people that we meet on a daily basis who are sinners because they have never gotten to know God. Therefore, they have never allowed God to know them by having that intimate walk and relationship. You're all looking at me a little strange. Is that clear? Do we understand? What about the sinner? The heat is on, folks. I can't make it warmer in here. I'm sorry. The heat is on. Okay? The furnaces are working. It's just that cold. Sorry. It's so cold outside. This building is cold. All right. That's what we mean when we talk about the sinner. It is not the person who goes out and does wicked, evil things per se. It's the person who has never allowed themselves to step into a knowing relationship with Jesus Christ. As long as it says the heat's on, it's working. No, don't hit run again. Don't hit run. Okay. And it'll come on in a moment. Just, yeah, when run puts it back on its normal cycle. All right. Okay, there we go. To not know God, I want you to, if you're taking notes, write this down. To not, and in quotations, know God is what it means to be ungodly. You see, we tend to, especially some of us that have been raised in church all our lives, we think of the ungodly and the sinner as those dirty, nasty, wicked people doing all these dirty, nasty, wicked things. But the truth is, some of the nicest, kindest, quote unquote, goodest, I know that's not a word, don't, English majors, don't get on to me. Some of the nicest, goodest people we know are still sinners. And it has nothing to do with their behavior per se. It has everything to do with the fact that they do not have not allowed themselves to enter into a knowing relationship with Jesus Christ. So that's who we're talking about. Peter says, look, it's time for judgment to begin in the house of God. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. We said we can either be judged now so that we can correct the problem, or we can wait till it's too late and we stand before him and we're judged and handed and have punishment handed out to us. He says it's time for that to begin in the house of God. And if it begins with us, and if it is a hard thing for us to be saved as the righteous, not from God's standpoint but from ours, he says, what about the sinner? Well, let's see what the Word of God says about the sinner. Go with me to Matthew chapter 25. Oh, you know what? I skipped a verse. Go to Jude. And that's not chapters 14 through 16. That's verses 14 through 16 because Jude only has one chapter. To not know God is to be ungodly. Listen to what Jude says in his short little letter here. He says, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. He's talking about the ungodly. He said, see, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone. Look at your neighbor and say, I think that includes us. Yeah, everyone. And to convict all of the ungodly, of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way, and all of the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. What is it that makes these people ungodly? It's not the ungodly acts. It's not the ungodly harsh words. It's the fact they follow their own way and they refuse to enter into a knowing relationship with Jesus Christ. And there will come a day when they'll be judged. There will come a day when we'll all be judged. My question to you is, which judgment do you want to be a part of? The one where God weighs out your works and says, well done, good and faithful servant, and hands you your crowns, and you cast them back at his feet? Or do you want to wait till the day when you stand before him as a judge, and he looks at you and says, I don't even know you? You know, when Jesus shared that back in the scripture we read a moment ago in Luke 13, I want you to notice something that a lot of people overlook there. There will be people that will go before Jesus Christ as he sits on the throne of judgment, and they'll say, he'll say, depart from me, I don't even know you. And they'll say, but wait a minute. We preached in your name. We did good deeds in your name. There will even be some of them that can lay claim, they'll say, we even performed miracles in your name. And Jesus will look at him and say, I don't even know you. I want to make some of you need to be aware of this. Some of you, and I'm not belittling you, I'm trying to help you grow up a little bit. Just because somebody prays and a miracle happens doesn't mean that person is in right relationship with God all the time. This has been many years ago. There was a man that was well known that during that time frame. I don't even remember his name now, to be honest with you. He was on TV. He held big crusades, and he was known as a healing evangelist. Oh, he prayed for people, and they were healed. What? No. Wasn't that well known. And he came to Albuquerque. Now, understand, people were showing up to his big gatherings, and they were being prayed for, and they were being healed because of their faith. God honored their faith. The problem is that man was in Albuquerque, and some pastors that were supporting him in his crusade there happened to walk into a place and caught him sitting at a table with several women that weren't his wife, getting almost drunk. Now, there were people that would say, oh, he must be a man of God. People are, there's miracles happening around. Folks, miracles do not qualify somebody for heaven. Let's keep that in mind. God sometimes honors the faith of those being prayed for in spite of the problems in the life of the one that's doing the praying. Okay? All right? I don't remember his name, so quick trying to guess, because it's probably somebody you know, many of you never heard of. Now, I don't know what happened. I don't know if the man finally repented and God is right. But you know what? He would be one of those who would say, but God, I prayed for people. I drew thousands into arenas and I prayed over them and they were healed. And Jesus will look at him and say, I don't even know you. You see, to be ungodly, to be the sinner, is not about always what we do. It's whether or not we have entered into that knowing relationship with Jesus Christ, that relationship of intimacy that he wants to have with us. Let me show you what the opposite of ungodly living is like. Go with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, we begin in verse 31. This is the opposite of living ungodly. We're going to see it compared to that. Verse 31, Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And the righteous, who are the righteous? They're the ones that know God. Not the super spiritual, not those that were perfect, but those who have entered into the right kind of relationship, a knowing, intimate relationship with Father. The righteous will answer him, verse 37, and they'll say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. Can I tell you, when we have that knowing, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, we're just going to naturally reach out to those around us and we're going to do the right thing. We're not going to expect a pat on the back. We're not going to expect the newspaper to show up with their cameras and take our picture. We're not going to get up and want people to applaud us. We're simply going to do it because we know the Father, and when we know the Father, we know his heart, and we automatically begin to operate the way he wants us to. Verse 41, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, a stranger, needing clothes, sick, or in prison, and did not help you? And he will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Now let me give you an example of this, that in just everyday life, when you know your parents, if they've given you the right example, and I know not everybody has, I get that. Not everybody was blessed with good parents. I get that. But don't ever hold that against your Heavenly Father. But an example the other day, Michael, after some Chi Alpha event or something, a bunch of them went out to eat somewhere. And Michael, just as a way of just chatting with Dad, he says, one of the guys didn't have any money, Dad, so he says, I paid for him to go with us so he wouldn't be left out. I said, that's fine. You know why he did that? Because my sons know their dad and they've seen their dad do it without any fanfare, just do it. They've seen me on band trips with the other band students. They've seen me a time or two where a kid didn't have money. This was long before you were in the band. I don't even know if you were in the band yet for high school level. We were in another town. We're all in a restaurant, and my son walks over and goes, "Dad, such and such a person over here." One of the girls says, "She's not ordering." I said, "Why?" He says, "Her parents didn't give her any money." I said, "Tell her to come here." I didn't make a big deal. I call her. I says, "You're not eating?" She goes, "No." I said, "Do you have any money?" "Well, no." But I said, "Go order some." "Oh, I said, just do what I tell you. Order." And I told the waitress, I says, "See those two boys?" "Yeah." I said, "They're mine. Put it on my bill." I said, "You see that young lady sitting over there near them?" "Yeah." I said, "Put that on my bill as well." No big deal. If I hadn't done it, one of the others might have. But I stood. My son does that for a friend because he knows his father's heart. And he's adapting that. Let me ask you something. How well do you know your father's heart today? Are you exhibiting the characteristics of your father? And it exceeds more than just money, buying somebody a meal. Are you doing the things that pleases your father's heart? You can only do that if you know your father. You see, the sinner doesn't know their father. They don't know the Heavenly Father. Here's what the Bible says is the final word about what about the sinners. We go to Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. And let me just tell you this morning, I don't tell us this about sinners so that we can walk out of here with our noses in the air, our chests puffed out, saying, "Well, I'm sure glad I'm not one of them." The reality of it is there's only two kinds of people in the world, and they're both sinners. There are sinners saved by grace and sinners not yet saved by grace. If we're a sinner saved by grace, we have nothing to be proud of, but we do have an obligation to let the others know what's available to them through Jesus Christ. Amen? Revelation 20, beginning in verse 11, John says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." The lake of fire is the second death. "If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." What happens to those that are the sinners that never do get to know God? That's their end. And it should not make us feel puffed up or proud. Because if I ended the sermon here, it would almost seem like that we could walk out here going, "Well, I know God, so I'm in great shape." No, no, no. We only know God because we've responded to His grace. What is our job then? Here's the remedy. How do we get people to move from being the sinner to the sinner saved by grace? Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 36. This is the remedy. What about the sinner? This is what our task is, to help the sinner. Peter is speaking and he says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this." We could change that. "Let all of Union County, let all of New Mexico, let all of the panhandle of Texas, let all of the United States be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom was crucified, both Lord and Christ." The word Christ being the Greek word for Messiah or Savior. "And when the people heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?'" Can I tell you, if we'll begin to live and allow ourselves to operate and live our life based on what we learn and come to know the heart of the Father is, people will begin to look at us and say, "What must I do to be more like you?" And when they do, it's not about you. It's about Him. Never forget that. Look what Peter says. Peter doesn't say, "Follow us." Look what he says. Verse 38, Peter replied, "Repent And we've talked about that many times. What does it mean to repent? Turn around, make a U-turn, head in a whole new direction. Notice it's not a 90-degree turn, it's a U-turn. Don't kind of change, completely change. Head the opposite way. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Let me interject this. For these people, baptism was not something you did and have potluck after Sunday morning service. It was a public profession that you were going to follow Christ no matter the cost. There are brothers and sisters of ours around the world today that to be baptized in water in public is signing their death warrant. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Peter says in our text this morning, what about the sinner? Here's the final answer on that. What about the sinner? We're to share with them the love and the salvation message of Jesus Christ and encourage them and walk them through the journey so they come to know the Father, so they come to know the Son, so they come to know the Holy Spirit. Because, friends, that's the only way we're no longer just a sinner, but a sinner saved by grace. See, the point of this message today is not to make us puffed up with pride because we're not still sinners. No, it is to motivate us and to make us have compassion for those that are still out there lost and dying in a sinful world. What are we supposed to do about it? Let's introduce them to the Father and help them get to know him. Let's introduce them to the Son and help them get to know him. Let's introduce them to the Spirit and help them to get to know him. But we can only do that if we make sure that we know him as well. Amen? I want you to stand with me this morning. We give a closing prayer. My prayer for you, I'm not asking for you to stand if you want to do this or want to do that. I'm going to ask you to stand because I want to pray over you this morning. And as I pray over you, will you pray for me that every day of my life, I will live my life like somebody who knows God and who is known by God. Lord God, today may I know you better and more than I knew you yesterday. And may I live a life so that you will proudly look down upon me as your child and say, I know that one. Jesus, I pray you'll turn to the Father every day and point to me and say, I know that one, Father, because he follows my heart. And he walks in close relationship with me. Not perfect. Oh, but he's striving to do the right thing because he knows me and I know him. Father, forgive us for the times that we sometimes act like we don't know you. Or as Christopher shared from men's conference, forgive us for the times we act like orphans. When in all honesty, Lord, we thank you that we have a loving Father. We have a loving heavenly big brother that is our Savior and our Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that is our daily comforter, the one that walks alongside of us. Lord God, as we leave this place today, may we go from here knowing in our hearts and minds that we do know you. And Lord, may we know you better today than we did yesterday. And when we wake up tomorrow, help us to know you better tomorrow than we do today. And let us be reminded that you know us perfectly every day. And you love us. Now go with us from this place, and may we be salt and light to the world around us. And we give you the glory for it in your wonderful name. And everyone said, amen, amen and amen. God bless you. Go.